Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, is that a choke or a comeback or what? We didn't miss much, did we? Let's get right to it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when you guys are usually in a bad mood anyway, but there's no reason to be. It's a beautiful day outside. You got a game 5 coming up. Bet you didn't see that coming for a lot of reasons. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that. I was thinking before we jumped into sports.
You talk some stuff?
Yeah, talk some stuff. Because otherwise people are going to accuse us of being negative Nancys.
No, I'm going to be positive today.
Okay.
I have something very positive to bring
up. I don't have a lot, so I want to just... how was your weekend? How did everything go this weekend? Tell me a little bit about what you did. Some happy things.
Well, we went to New Orleans, had a blast.
Okay, that's fun. Yeah. That's a fun city.
Yeah.
You win some money?
I wound up 10th in the poker tournament when I had kings and ran into aces.
Oh, which, what a bonehead move.
Yeah, I should have just folded pre-flop.
What do you think, kings are the nuts? Come on. Don't be a dummy.
Late in the tournament with a... when there's 10 people left, that's a hand you want, unless the other guy has that.
Right.
But, no, it was a good trip, had some good beer, had some great food.
And, what's the greatest thing you ate this week?
Oysters. Okay. New Orleans has the best oysters on the planet, period. They're char-grilled. So we went to, like, 3 different places and had char-grilled oysters. They were all fantastic.
Okay.
Is that good?
That's pretty solid.
Positive?
Yeah. I like my oysters raw.
Yeah,
I'm a raw oyster guy.
I started with raw oysters, but I've really graduated to the char grilled for some reason.
Okay.
And what else? Did a true crime tour. That was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Heard about all kinds of murders and stuff.
Nice, nice.
And that's about it.
Okay.
Then we had a great golf tournament yesterday where we had a great time, played lousy golf, all of us.
Oh, we're terrible.
But we had fun.
At least I knew I was going to be terrible. Everybody else, I think, seemed a little bit surprised at how terrible they were.
Yeah, I know I was.
I was actually surprised. I actually hit some balls better than I would have expected.
Everybody hit a few good ones.
Yeah, but nobody hit a bunch of good ones.
No, I was a lot better on the back nine, but it was hard to be worse than I was on the front nine.
Yeah, I was a lot better on the front nine, and then things started to fall all the way apart for me. But you know, it's all good.
Yeah, we had a good time. It's a good group. So thanks to Chip and Tubelos for putting on that tournament.
Oh, always a good time. Yeah. Always a good time. I drank a lot of good beer this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. I ate some good food, too. I went down to Texas Beer Refinery, which is down kind of your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of them, even?
I've heard of them, but I haven't been there yet.
Okay. I guess they're starting to distribute into Houston now, but they're in Dickinson, Texas.
Yeah.
And
my old neck of the woods, not where I am now.
Right, your old neck of the woods.
Right.
And I went down there and met the owners and brewers, and it was a good time, John and Ryan. And they make good beer. They sent me home with some pumpkin Doppelbock, which is delicious.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like it's right up my alley.
And then on Saturday, I went to the Brash Grand Opening Party, Brash Brewing.
Yeah.
And listened to a bunch of metal and drank a bunch of high ABV beer.
That sounds like fun. Actually, some of our other friends were there, and we were talking about it yesterday. It sounded like a great time.
And then Saturday night, I get an email from Jong and a couple other guys with the national ESPN, and they're looking for someone to do the post-game interview, like on-the-field post-game interview for the Astros game.
Oh, on Sunday?
On Sunday.
Oh. Unless you were in great shape.
Well, not only that, but like Sundays where the Texans don't play are like, those are golden to me.
Yeah.
I mean, because it means I get to lay on my couch and watch football all day. I don't have to go to the press box. I don't have to do anything except lay around and watch football.
You didn't have to do it.
I know.
Delotti was going to be there.
He wasn't there.
Oh, was he not?
No. He was not.
Why was he not there?
I don't know.
That's all he lives for.
I know. What I did discover is that I guess how long have I been here? 6 years? I haven't been into the Astros press box very many times since I've been here. This was maybe the third or fourth time since I've been here. I've had a press credential for 6 years in a row.
Well, there was 1 year we didn't have a credential. I think it was last year we didn't have one.
No, I did. You didn't.
No, for some reason nobody at the station did because I was asking to borrow yours and you didn't have one.
Oh.
It was last year we did not get them. So mm-hmm. 5 out of 6 years.
Okay. I feel like I've had one every year, but sometimes I lose them. Because, listen, I'm not using that thing. I'll be honest. There's too many games for me to go up there. The baseball media crowd, completely different than the football media crowd.
A little bit.
Very booger-eatery. There was a lot of discussion. Okay, this is this is game three of the ALDS. This is a big game. And there are people next to me discussing, do you mind if I borrow a quote from Barbara Bush from my story I'm doing on this game? I'm like, dude, who's getting a quote from Barbara Bush about a playoff baseball game? If you can't write a story without a quote from Barbara Bush, you should probably get a new job. But what do I know about covering baseball for a living? The cool thing was I spent the last several innings down like in the big baller seats.
Yeah.
Like down by the Diamond Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Sitting right, I was about three seats over from Arian Foster and some chick that he was with. I guess he's living the single life now. So,
wasn't Gatsby's mom?
I don't think it was Gatsby's mom. I don't know that they are still seeing each other.
Hmm.
Either way, this chick was pretty hot though.
Yeah. I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah. He's living the dream. He's living the dream. I sat in front of a really nice lady who was super excited about the Astros, and I met some people who told me to let John Granato know that he's a homosexual, but they said it in different words than that.
Oh, okay.
But there were multiple people there who accused John Granato of homosexuality.
These people recognize you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they at least recognized that. I don't know. I was wearing a credential with my name on it, so I'm sure some of them got it that way. That's my best guess because I didn't know these guys. So
did you let John know that he was homosexual?
I haven't seen John yet, but as soon as I do, I've got the names of the guys who accused him of homosexuality, and I'm going to pass that on to him. I haven't seen John since then.
Apparently, he was supposed to do the show yesterday, and he
was busy.
No, he apparently was hurling all of Sunday. And
interesting. John does drink a lot.
No. He got a very, very bad case of food poisoning Sunday at a well-known taco establishment that I really, really enjoy.
Oh, no. What's it called?
It has a little devil on it, but I will...
No!
I'm not going to say the name of it, but I really, really enjoy this place.
It rhymes with Porchies?
Yes.
I love that place, too.
Yes. I do, too. There's one right across from my house.
He got the jalapeno sausage taco, and apparently it screwed him up.
Well, that's an error in judgment anyway.
Yeah.
Who gets the jalapeno sausage taco?
He apparently was hurling all of Sunday, and he said between when he had the taco and when he got into work today, he had 2 graham crackers all of 2 days. So
I'm not really buying that. I think he can't handle his drinking anymore.
That's my guess.
It happens when you get old.
His old body. And that happened to Fred, too. His old body isn't used to taking in the alcohol that it once was.
At some point, they're going to have to retire.
You break down.
So he didn't do the show yesterday? Why didn't you call me?
He did not.
Because we actually were done in plenty of time. We could have done the show.
That's all right. Astros, that damn eighth inning went for almost an hour.
Yeah.
The Royals singled them to death.
I am so glad that I stuck around to watch that. I stayed up at the Woodlands Country Club to watch the game before I took off, because otherwise you would have had a hard time describing what happened in the eighth inning. You couldn't have explained it, like how this all came to be.
Dink, dink, dink.
But every
error,
there wasn't a single well hit ball. It was all like just finding a way through the infield. And really, Altuve, if he was 5'4" instead of 5'5", he wouldn't have made the play that stopped the bleeding, and it would have just gotten worse. I mean, what a nightmarish inning. And now the Astros went from being comfortably in the driver's seat to they're, you know, I don't want to say heavy underdogs, but they're minus 125 underdogs to win the series. And I'm going to say it's not looking great. Not looking great.
Well,
it's not looking terrible.
No. And we'll talk about that next segment, because I don't think things are as bleak as people want to feel like today. I have plenty of reasons to tell you why. But can I just say one thing about, you know, we played that tournament at a country club.
Yeah.
At Palmer course, Woodlands. No matter how rich I get, I am never joining a country club. Those are the most presumptuous dickweeds I've ever met. Not just at that club, but almost every time I go to a country club, there's always these cranky old men that think they own the world because they're paying all their money.
Well, they also do own the world.
Well, most of them do, yeah. But, yeah, you know what? You own your world. Stay the hell away from mine.
Yeah.
Those just aren't my kind of people. My kind of people are blitzers. My kind of people are bar people. We're not country club people.
Yeah, I'm more of a stay inside my own house person, so I don't need any of that either.
But when I play, I like to play. I like to play Wildcat. I like to play courses like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you're with real people.
The course was great. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
Really nice course.
We got to see way too much of it.
Yeah, I lost a handful of golf balls out there. But and I almost killed
I have
a squirrel.
Big hands. I lost a bunch of handfuls myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did almost kill a squirrel. That was pretty cool.
That would have made me $500 too.
And then PETA would have weighed in.
Listen, we wouldn't have to tell them.
Of course not. Hey, guys, I have to tell you about a great new sponsor that I'm very excited about on the show. And you might have heard of them before. And when I heard people talk about Houston Can Academy, I heard the saying, you know, right off the car, not the kid. And they talked about how you're helping kids. And I never really understood just what it is that these guys do. And it's amazing. If a kid drops out of school, they get a second chance at Houston Can Academies. I went over to the campus a couple weeks ago, and there's a lot of people who had to drop out of high school to get a job and pay for their family because there was nobody else to do it, or pregnancies or something like that, and they had to drop out of school. Houston Can Academy takes these kids in and gives them a second chance to graduate, works around their schedules, and they're getting some great, great human beings coming out of there. They're changing lives every day. They're graduating thinkers, and you know that whole saying about you change one life, you change 100. Well, they're changing thousands, and you can help. It's very simple. The Can Academies provide all kinds of stuff for those students. If they need glasses to read, they provide them. If they need transportation to get to school, they provide that. If they're hungry, they even give them a warm, wholesome meal. And that's why more than ever, your donation is needed, and it's easy. All you have to do, if you got a vehicle lying around, it's not being used, donate it. It's a tax write-off, and they need your donations. It's tax deductible. You donate today, we're going to give you a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard it on the Blitz. It's just their way of saying thank you. Don't just leave that thing sitting in your yard. They'll come tow it for you. They'll even fill out the paperwork. They'll do all the work. All you have to do is give them a call. Very simple. 713-225-4226. At 713-225-4226. Or you can go online at HoustonCarsForKids.com. But that number, 713-225-4226. Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. You're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. They're going to come get that thing out of your yard. You're going to do something nice for somebody, because I know blitzers like to do that. You're going to help change a life just like they do. Remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. It's a local music Tuesday. And you know what? I'm going to give some people a reason why they should be in a good mood, A.J.
All right.
Because, yes, that was a tough loss yesterday. Just one of those things that happens in baseball. And I think people tend to forget because it's been so long since you've had playoff baseball that there are a lot of swings in these games. And especially late, those last outs sometimes are the hardest ones to get. And we see it every year. It's just you haven't seen it in Houston for a long time. And go ask the Rangers about being one out away from a World Series.
Ugh. you talk about painful.
Yeah, you talk about a punch in the crotch. So, yeah, it was bad. And it's one of the things that's been rearing its ugly head since this team started fading a little bit in September was the bullpen, which has been, you know, spotty at best and inconsistent. When they've been on, they've been fine. When they haven't, you see what you did yesterday. Not all of it was, and some of it was just bad luck and bad timing, but it was also the Royals hitting some good pitches.
Yeah.
So as low as you might have felt yesterday, the thing is, isn't that kind of the best thing about sports is you appreciate the wins that much more. You were probably just every bit as excited watching Dallas Keuchel on Sunday and seeing them grind that out and as you were for getting punched in the gut. That's what makes it fun. If you're a fan, yeah, it's the highs and lows. There is no good without evil. There is no happy without sad. There is no game five without a bullpen collapse. So, you know what? Now you get another game, at least one more. You get to sit back and enjoy it. And here's my positive spin. The Astros are 500 in the playoffs on the road, or over 500 in the playoffs on the road, 2-1.
That's true.
So
that is a hell of a sample size.
And frankly, if you get good Colin McHugh, they're going to be in the game.
That's
and
true.
You'll be able to enjoy it. And that's a positive. It's a positive. So I don't have any positive to say about the Texans when we do get to them, because I did not get to dig into them Friday since I wasn't here. Didn't sound like you guys were here for very long either. But that one I have to
We did almost an hour, right, Jung? Or did we do over an hour?
It was about 40 minutes.
Oh, it was exhausting.
Sounds like it. But, I'm kind of excited to see a game five. And, yeah, I was kind of sitting there at one point yesterday thinking, man, it's going to be Astros Rangers. That's pretty cool. That would be fun. And now it's kind of like, maybe not. So that's the best part of sports is the emotion that you get out of it. Sometimes those emotions aren't good. It's like a marriage.
All right.
You know, if you're married to something, you're that big of a fan, you're going to have bad times. There's going to be times when your wife just pisses you off for no reason. She's nagging and complaining and won't shut up.
You know what I just realized, aside from the baseball, you haven't been on the air since the Texans game.
No, I haven't. I have plenty to say about that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, I figured maybe you'd missed it or something.
No, I saw
it. Okay, good.
I saw it. I was, I didn't write anything on it, and because I was so, it would have been just pure venom,
vitriol.
So I wanted to sit back, give it a few days, go back and watch it again, which I did. Nothing changed. So yeah, I have a few things to say about that at some point today. But I'm trying to get everybody in a good mood first. I'm trying to make them feel good about themselves.
Okay.
So, is it working?
I guess so.
Yeah. How'd your betting weekend go?
It was decent. It could have ended on a higher note last night, which I still say. Two things about the end of that game last night, and all of this, to be fair, I was on San Diego -3.
I was on the other side.
So, the penalty at the 1 yard line, that's a football hit. That's not a penalty. That's a nonsensical penalty to call, which everybody, it's half the distance to the goal from the one, and you can say it's no big deal, but Pittsburgh has to burn their timeout if they don't call that penalty. And then they're going to kick. More than likely, they're going to kick. Secondly, how do you run a play that takes 5 seconds there? I mean, is that
well? And
is that the Mike Tomlin? If they lose that game, which, by the way, the replays show, they were about an inch, and the replay didn't confirm the touchdown, the call stood. The call
wasn't confirmed. There wasn't enough to overturn it.
No, there wasn't.
Because you couldn't tell when.
But there also wasn't enough
touched.
To confirm it, which means it was close as hell.
If it had gone the other way, I think it would have been called the other way.
How many missteps is Mike Tomlin going to take before people start saying, dude, this guy is coaching like a dummy? And it's happening on national TV every time.
Well, that's because they're good enough to be on national TV all the time, I think. But
you think they were good last night?
No, I think they were better than the Chargers, though, for at least the second half of the game. And that Chargers team, as great as Antonio Gates was and Phillip Rivers was, and he came up with a big drive late, their defense just isn't there. And you can't let Michael Vick beat you.
No.
What the hell?
No, you're right on that.
And, yeah, so I honestly think, well, we're not even talking about the time that they took off the clock. And
that was crazy,
too. The Steelers may have had or should have had plenty of time to where they weren't having to rush down there. But back to your point, what is he doing running a play from 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage anyway?
I don't get it.
Is that what Le'Veon Bell does best? I don't know, but if it is, that's not the place of the field to do it.
No.
It worked. But sometimes you make decisions that, you know, bad decisions that work out just like you make good decisions that don't. And I thought it was
a poor decision with a good outcome.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm telling you, eventually people are going to say, dude, what is Mike Tomlin doing? And I like Mike Tomlin. You know, in the past, he's been a good coach, but it seems like this year and last year, he makes these baffling decisions that have either cost him games or will cost him games.
Yeah, or they barely win a game because the decision works out. But more often than not, it doesn't. And it just goes to show, and this is something that will eventually dovetail to me bitching about the Texans, how many decisions these coaches make that impact a football game, especially when all of them wind up being so close at the end. And we saw that Sunday. There were so many games. There were overtime games. There were games that went down to the wire. And the one decision that I kind of pointed out, and it wound up not mattering because the Patriots killed him anyway, but these are the kind of decisions that coaches make sometimes that make you scratch your head and say, what the hell are you thinking? Cowboys have the ball deep in their own territory, 2-minute warning. Patriots have 3 timeouts. To me, you run the ball, you make them use their timeouts. They come out, throw a pass, incomplete.
Right.
Patriots don't have to use a timeout. Now they call timeout after the next 2 plays, get the ball back, kick a 57-yard field goal. That's 3 points you gave them. And you're just not thinking about managing the clock there. Because if you throw an incomplete pass, I mean, I get, okay, let's take 1 pass. But you better make it something short and safe where it's actually caught. Because now you've stopped the clock. Your offense is crap with Brandon Whedon. And the Patriots did exactly what you're supposed to do to manage the clock at the end of the half. And they get 3 points. And it goes from being 10-3 to 13-3. And, you know, the route was on from there. It wound up not mattering. But in a lot of these games, those kind of decisions, those kind of mistakes, they can cost you. Especially you're talking overtime games and games that are tight. And, man, you see it a lot for guys who have been through it. And Mike Tomlin's won Super Bowls. He knows what he's doing. But those kind of decisions?
He's getting too cute is what it is.
Maybe so.
And sometimes that happens with really good coaches. Like, once you've had some success, you start to get cute.
It does, and you think you know better than everybody else. Of course, you'd like to see the local coaches have some success so they could start getting cute instead of just being cute and not having success. But, I thought it was... I thought there were 2, and we'll go through all the games since we weren't here yesterday to do it. But the other thing that I found weird from Sunday, the Saints-Eagles game.
Mm-hmm.
3 times in the first half, I saw pass interference flags thrown. And all 3 times, they picked them up. And it was the right call. And I don't think I've ever seen that in 1 half, 3 times, where they call pass interference,
and
throw the flag, and then go talk, and then pick it up. So either they had one guy who was just pulling the trigger on every play, or that particular group decided that, hey, you know, we're going to talk about these and make sure from all angles. And if that's the case, I like it.
I doubt that's the case.
No, I think it's just you had one idiot, but that they had to keep overruling because most of the flags were from way behind the play.
Albert says there's no way Tomlin kicks there. He has to go for it after the game against the Ravens, and that call was a bad call. I disagree. If they have to stop the clock, use their last timeout with 3 seconds left, You play for overtime at that point.
I mean, unless you think you have a play that you know is going to work. I'd feel a lot better if you got Ben Roethlisberger in there making that decision.
Right.
But it worked. It's just one of those. I'll just say, okay, hey, it worked.
You think they would have gone for it if they would have had to use their timeout there, if they wouldn't have had a timeout in their pocket? Or you just kick the field goal and go to overtime?
Well, that kicker's not exactly trustworthy either. I think that probably
Boswell, the new guy?
Yeah.
It's a rookie, he looked good. I mean, geez, I mean, if you can't hit that, that's like an like an extra point from last year.
But no, but more importantly, when you get into overtime, you're probably going to have him kick that thing. Do you really want to do that? So I'm not defending it. I'm not sure what I would have done there. I know I wouldn't have run that particular play, even though it worked. I think I would have tried something else with either Vic running an option or a run pass option if you're going to do it, or just get up there and dive. I mean,
if I were them, if I'm running that play, I'm taking a snap from Mike Vick and running up the middle, and if I don't get it, I'm using the timeout. Yeah. I'm definitely not going to outside the tackle. That's just dumb.
Yeah,
because if he's short, the game is over, and that timeout doesn't even matter.
And I know, well, you always get, it worked, so it was the right call. Well,
no, that's not true.
No, it's not. And that's just, you have to think deeper than that, because it's how often do you make that decision where it actually works? Anyway,
it's about percentages, and that is a low percentage call that Mike Tomlin made that paid off. I mean, it worked for him, but it's a low percentage call. More often than not, that's not going to work. And I still think that was a bunk penalty. I mean, you got to tackle a guy.
You do. Unfortunately, we see that all the time, and that's another one of those rules I'm not a fan of. It's just one of those dumb things in football that gets called now, and I don't think it should have been. But most of them, I don't think, unless you're obviously trying to do that. Unless you're obviously going for the head.
But when you turn your shoulder and the shoulder's the first thing that comes out, I mean, that's not a penalty.
All right,
guys.
You should have bet on the Steelers.
I should have bet on the Steelers. If you're a little banged up or you've injured yourselves, you need to know about the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being smart, accomplished, progressive. They're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've even developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front of the building, and they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com. You'll learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online. And a physician referral may not be necessary, depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out. 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. Texter says, so you guys want to go to overtime on the road with Mike Vick rather than try to win it at the goal line. It's not what I said. I just didn't like the play call. I didn't have a problem with going for it there. AJ's the one that wanted a field goal so that it would go to overtime and he'd cover. You want to grab a phone call?
Sure.
The Dominator, really? That's what we're going to do?
Hello, The Dominator.
Sports.
Sports to you, The Dominator.
Hey, I was calling to see how you guys did in fantasy this weekend.
I did great. It was really fantastic. The guy that I was playing in one of my leagues played the Steelers defense, and they blew it just enough to let me eke out a win. In fact, that was Barry Laminack.
That guy went 2-0, I heard. I heard he beat Fred like 95-50.
What? Hello, Dominator?
Oh,
what?
Guys, I'm sorry. I can't hear you with all these points I scored. What?
You're breaking up, Dominator. All right, we're going to have to let you go. Sorry.
Laminack, get out of here. I haven't even been paying it.
Shame.
No, Barry did beat me. He beat me by 2 points, which I will say it was painful enough to lose that bet on the Chargers, but to lose fantasy when I needed 20 yards essentially from either Antonio Gates or Danny Woodhead or a combo, I needed overtime. I really did.
That explains your whole take on this.
No, I mean, I'm just saying you. It makes sense that you would have kicked. You would have kicked the field goal there.
I don't know.
If you're a bad team, you go for it because you don't want to. You don't want to play in overtime.
Well, the thing is, though, if you get to overtime, are you going to get a better opportunity than that? My problem was with the play call, not so much
the play call was just terrible.
And that's
you have to run something that's not going to take every second on the clock.
Yeah, you know, quick slant or something, so you have another play. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could have done there, and it worked, so they won. But I think if you do that 10 times during the course of the season, you're losing 7 of those.
I agree. Nick says, what are the odds you could have interviewed Springer after the game with a straight face? %0. They gave me a couple names. George Springer was not on the list. It was Dallas Keuchel or Jason Castro, and I got Keuchel, and that was the end of that.
Okay.
Yeah. That would have been rough.
Yeah, I don't like this being called to work on weekends thing. I like to drink on weekends.
It was not ideal for me. But hey, you know what? I'm a team player.
Hey, got to help him out.
That's right.
Let's try Matt. Go, Matt.
Fellas, sports.
Sports to you, Matt.
Hey, excuse the noise. Y'all caught me in a weird spot. I was sitting in the car waiting on hold. Now I'm HGB. But I actually wanted to comment on what AJ was saying about Mike Tomlin's play calling over the last 2 seasons.
Okay.
The difference here might not be Mike Tomlin. I believe the difference here is the fact that Todd Haley's running the offense. He's calling these plays.
Well, that's
so
a good
Todd
point.
Haley is not exactly what I would call a rocket scientist when it comes to, you know, late game play calls, as we all saw during his time as a head coach in Arizona. So I'm just thinking that, you know, you might be attributing some things to the play calling that obviously doesn't have anything to do with Tomlin.
Here's what I will say. At the end of games, the head coach is still the head coach. And that's why Daryl Bevel didn't get as much grief as Pete Carroll did last season in the Super Bowl for throwing with Russell Wilson. People will say, why did Pete Carroll let that call go through? And I can't even remember. It was the other game this year where the Steelers were on national TV that they blew the game.
Yeah.
Was that the Ravens game? I think it was.
Yeah.
So I understand that he's not the play caller per se, but the play call goes through his headset. And if he doesn't like it, he's got the power to say something. And there's been a couple times where he probably should have said something.
Yeah. I
But you're right. Todd Haley is a bonehead.
He is. But, hey, it worked. So he looks like a genius. But I think part of it is, you know, the head coach is supposed to be responsible for everything. But Tomlin's more of a defensive guy. He's obviously hiring a guy he trusts to run the offense. But at some point, don't you have to step in and say, okay. And I'm sure they're in the meetings this morning saying, all right, yeah, this worked, but we need to practice a better play than this on the goal line in this situation. I'm almost sure that's happening.
Yeah.
If it's not, and it happens again, then we can criticize them again. 713-780-ESPN. Man, a lot of stuff happened in college football that we haven't gotten to yet. Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
Gonzo. Steve Spurrier. Gonzo. Bad day to be a Steve, I guess.
Well, one left by choice, apparently.
Yeah.
One, not so much.
Nick Chubb injured. Will Greer, that happened yesterday.
Boy, that bums me out because I was really thinking that the winner of this Florida-LSU game, we're going to have to start taking really seriously as a contender. But now, I don't think Florida can win that game. And if LSU wins, they beat a Florida team without their quarterback, so I'm less... You know, yeah. Wowed by it. It's kind of a bummer because I really think that was lining up to be a really good game.
At least the other kids played a lot for Florida. It's not like you've got a totally unproven guy.
And but good reason why Florida's where they are is because of Will Greer.
Yeah, but when they started the season, they were actually alternating. So, I mean, he's experienced, and I think that's a pretty good football team anyway. I was going to like LSU regardless, but I like them a lot more now.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next, at least as far as... There's some interesting games coming up, especially in the SEC this
Michigan,
week.
Michigan-Michigan State
Michigan,
this week.
Michigan State, and I think Michigan is for real. And we may get to our rankings today. We may have to wait till tomorrow on that because we're a day behind. But
and freaking Bevo won.
Yeah.
I mean,
Charlie Strong saved
his job. I wouldn't have even bet money on them to cover that game. And not only did they win, It wasn't even really a close game.
It should have been worse.
They really dominated Oklahoma, which is, and Oklahoma was a team that, had they won that, you know, they're in the top eight. They're, yep, they're in a national championship conversation. Now they lost to Texas. I mean, it's what a crazy wild weekend.
Yeah, and you're right. Texas dominated that game. The best part of it was I was at the table watching that game while I was playing the tournament. And there's a lady from Tulsa, Oklahoma, kept talking about how proud she was to be a Sooner fan.
Yeah.
She got quieter and quieter as the game went on. It was a lot of fun. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We will take some phone calls next segment. We'll also dive into a little bit more of those stories. And there's a lot in college football that I want to get to as well. In the NFL, everything, man.
We've got extra time to that we haven't even hit stuff. I want to get your thoughts on the Texans game. We haven't really got to yet. It's a busy time here, Fred, and we've been off the air for far too long. So we need to make this up to the people.
We'll do it.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys about Sports Manias. I've been trying to tell you about this all season long, and with fantasy football in full swing, this is an app that can really help you dominate your league. Go to the App Store. The app is completely free. Search for Sports Manias. It's one word. And it's going to give you a leg up on your competition. You simply import your fantasy team from Yahoo, CBS, ESPN, and you'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, and milestones. Real-time updates on your players and just your players, and it's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this app to help me with all my leagues because I have leagues on all those formats, and it's been really nice to have them all consolidated into one spot. It's really easy to navigate. It's really user-friendly. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you about it because I need user-friendly. As an added bonus, you'll receive alerts every time your players are in the red zone. It's a new fantasy tool that gives you an edge to help dominate your league. Get on your cell or tablet right now. Go to the App Store and download Sports Manias for free right now. That's Sports Manias. One word, Sports Manias.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. It is a local music Tuesday. Everything you hear, except for the standards at the top of the hour, all local bands right here in Houston, a couple from Beaumont. And Jong will tweet out everybody you heard, so if you hear something you like, go check them out. Playing the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game and win $100. It's absolutely free to play. We're having happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington from 5 until 7 on Thursday. The top point scorer gets $100, and we'll be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Buffalo Wild Wings from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. There you go. So, want to try a quick phone call?
Yeah, we could take a phone call.
Let's try Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hello, sports.
Sports to you.
So, I'm a diehard Oakland Raiders fan, born and raised in California, moved to Houston 3 years ago. I believe we're one or two players away from being a playoff team. I guess I have a two-part question. First question is, do you agree? And the second part of the question would be, what position players or just position would you slot those players in for us to get over that hump?
I think the Raiders are close. I think it also helps that the Chiefs are worse than the Raiders already. The Chargers look like maybe they're on their way to being worse than the Raiders.
Jamal Charles gone for the year.
Yeah, Charles with the Chiefs without Jamal Charles, they are the Raiders. I think Oakland needs to get a little bit younger on the defensive side, and Charles Woodson had a great game, but he's not the same as he once was.
And he's not going to be around forever. And I think they need to have one of those drafts where they get three or four quality starters out of a draft. And they obviously made, I think they made the right pick with Amari Cooper. It looks like Derek Carr may develop into something. And if that's the case, you need to shore up that defense and get younger. I think that's the big thing.
And they've hit some good ones. I mean, like Khalil Mack is working out.
That was a really good pick.
Getting Justin Tuck was big for them. DJ Hayden looks like he's a decent player. And to be fair, moving Woodson to to safety has been, it's rejuvenated his career. I don't know how long it'll last.
Well, they, and they've been real patient with DJ, which was smart because of, you know, when he went into the draft, he was coming off that horrible thing at UH, and I think it was going to take a little bit longer for him to actually develop, and he's starting to. And he's a really good kid, too.
I think they can be better at linebacker. They can get younger in the secondary, and they can get better on the offensive line, which yeah. almost everybody can, but they can definitely. Donald Penn is your left tackle. I mean, you can get better. But I agree. The Raiders look to be on the upswing, and, you know, that Carr to Cooper, that's a nice little duo. It really is. And Michael Crabtree actually looks pretty decent, too. That's a guy that I would have said you could throw out with the trash, and he's still got something.
Yeah, people laughed at me when I said they could win 7 or 8 games this year.
Yep.
But getting from 7 or 8 wins to 10 wins is a huge jump.
That is very difficult.
And that's where you have to get that impact couple of players that change games for you. And, you know, that's still out there. You draft another Khalil Mack-type player, or Amari Cooper-type player, you're another step in that direction. Let's try Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how you doing, AJ?
We're doing sports.
Okay. Hey,
Fred's here,
I'm
too.
Texans fan. Sports to me, too. Okay, thank
no,
you.
No, Fred is here, too. I was just letting you know Fred's here.
Oh, how you doing, Fred? I'm a Texans fan. I wanted to know if the Cowboys and the Texans played, who would win? I think right now the Texans are getting a lot of hate that they don't deserve. I sure hope that you guys listen.
I
think they deserve every bit of hate they're getting.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are better than the Texans, even without Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. I think that they're better in the trenches. They are just a better football team. They're better coached for sure, which is crazy. If you told me Jason Garrett would be better than Bill O'Brien this year, I would have laughed at you. I would have laughed. But I think that might be the case.
Well, I'm not going to play that hypothetical game. They don't play for 4 years again, so.
And yeah. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't.
You know, realistically, the Cowboys suck without the guys that they're missing. But at least they have that excuse.
Yeah.
You know,
things can get better because
Tony Romo's going to come back.
You might get Dez Bryant back sooner than you thought. And if you get him, that's going to help a little bit. And it's going to help whether it's Whedon or Matt Cassel or whoever it is winding up throwing the ball. That's going to help that offense. And when you get Romo back.
Yeah. At some point.
But the top five receiver, don't have that.
A top five receiver in the league is going to walk through the door and start playing for them again this year. And a franchise quarterback is going to be back under center at some point this year. The Texans will have neither of those things. The Texans are what they are.
I'm going to save my Texans thing until 5 o'clock.
Okay. You're holding on to it.
Yes. Just a little bit.
Someone asked earlier who the most legit 5-0 team was. And the 5-0 teams, Cincinnati, Denver, Green Bay, and Atlanta. Patriots are 4-0.
Yeah, you might want to throw the 4-0 team in
there. They're pretty good, too.
I think they're the most legitimate of all those.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to argue them. I like Green Bay a lot. But, man, the freaking Bengals have impressed me. And the Bengals could have just rolled over and died and probably should have. And thank goodness they didn't because I bet them -3. And they got me a push that I didn't deserve at all. But that's impressive what they're doing. This is not the same mentally weak Bengals team. They look like, I mean, they're competing. They just look like a different squad. And I hate to say it, but I really like the Bengals as like, just if they play like this, I like them as a playoff team even, which I've never liked the Bengals going into the playoffs. But Andy Dalton has really, really improved this year, and I have crapped on that guy his whole career. Because he's been just a guy riding a team. And now he's leading a team. I don't know how long it'll last, but I really like that Bengals team. Do I think they're better than the Patriots or the Broncos even? I don't know. But I do think that they belong in that discussion.
Yeah, the way they're playing. I still don't trust them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's – but the fact that they're going to make it again, it looks like.
And Atlanta is 5-0. But Atlanta doesn't have a single win that I'm like, oh yeah, look who they beat.
They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're beating bad teams.
They beat the NFC East and the Texans.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And
other than the Giants game, which the Giants, I mean, I think, and we're not learning anything this week because they're playing the Saints, who are just a disaster right
Fred,
now.
Fred, let me read you the Falcons schedule. We talk about teams going 16-0. Tell me a game where the Falcons will be underdogs. You ready? At the Saints. No.
3 years ago, yes.
Yeah, not this year.
not this year.
At the Titans.
Nope.
Home to the Bucks.
Nope.
At the Niners.
Nope.
Home to the Colts.
Nope.
Home to the Vikings.
Nope.
At the Bucks.
Nope.
At the Panthers.
Maybe.
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 At the Jags.
Nope.
Home to the Panthers. Home to the Saints. That's their schedule.
My God.
Isn't that crazy? The Falcons have the crummiest schedule. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, you would have said, well, hosting the Colts is no joke. The NFC East actually might be tough. But as the season is shaken out, the Falcons have the easiest road. I mean, if the Falcons don't make the playoffs, something disastrous has had to happen.
Yeah.
Because they're better than every team left on their schedule. And you could, I mean, if you said that about the Patriots, okay, or the Packers, okay. No one expected this from the Falcons. I did say they would win the NFC South, but I'm a genius. No one else expected this from the Falcons.
Well, it's the NFC South. You never know what to expect every year in that division.
Yeah, but how many losses should, like we said, they're going to be maybe an underdog in one game, and that depends on how Carolina's playing.
Yeah, I think I would be willing to say right now they'll be an underdog in that game, but unless something happens to Cam Newton or something like
right.
that.
But and remember, by the time they get there, they'll be 12-0 if things you know go as according to the odds, but that's obviously not going to be the case. And I don't think they're going to go 12-0, but I'm just saying I don't know when I'd be shocked that they won a game. All the games on their schedule are winnable.
Yeah, but you know how it is in the NFL. You go on the road to Tennessee and Mariota plays lights out and you lose that game. They're going to lose a game along the way. They're not that good.
They're not.
But their schedule, they're better than everybody in their division.
Their schedule is so cush rest of the way through.
The Panthers' schedule's not that hard either. I mean, they got the two first place teams from last year, but other than that, they're playing the same group.
Yeah.
So they could go on a pretty good run, too.
They could. The Panthers, who, by the way, they're 4-0, but they're at Seattle next week.
Right.
I mean, that's a game change. In the first place schedule, you can say it doesn't mean a lot, but it means at Seattle and the Packers, that means a lot. So
that's two games.
That's two games.
That's two games where the Falcons get garbage and they get those two. But
the other thing is the Panthers haven't played any of the NFC East teams yet, and I have to expect those teams are going to get better as the season goes on. I mean, the Giants already look a lot better. You know, you don't know what you're going to get with the Eagles, but I mean, you're right. It is easier, but at Seattle and home to the Packers, that's not as easy as what the Falcons have for sure.
No, but again, we're talking about two games, and right. I'm not talking about the Panthers going undefeated, but I don't think the Falcons will either.
I don't think they will either, but they're gonna
slip up somewhere.
But when you hear that schedule, you're kind of like, man.
Well, they ought to win 13 games.
They damn sure should.
And
they'll be overvalued. They'll be overvalued in the playoffs, and it'll be an easy time to bet against them when they play an actual good team because they won't have seen one all year.
They'll get the best wild card probably, and they won't get the best wild card if they have the best record though. They'll lose, though. I'm not sold on this team as a playoff team.
They'll lose in the playoffs, but they ain't going to lose many regular season games, I don't think.
They shouldn't unless you start losing Julio Jones for an extended period of time. Matt Ryan gets hurt. I mean, we've seen how quickly a team can go from being better than everybody else on their schedule to being absolute garbage when they start having injuries.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Gary Trick. Their law enforcement stepping up efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a breath test or a blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed one of those tests the police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Police breath test machines aren't even warranted fit for breath testing. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing you should know about. It's not the same as medical blood testing. These aren't doctors testing your blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's also one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.